Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Wednesday class, July 17th, 2024, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. Therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for one more day of freedom in Client Nation USA. The freedom to assemble in a Bible teaching church such as this one, and the freedom to worship you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. A new birth of freedom. Hal Lindsey, why is communism, with its godless rule of an elite few, taught unabashedly all over American campuses? Our universities in this nation are filled with Marxism. It's being taught by the professors. It's all throughout the universities in the United States of America, along with anti-Semitism. The two together on college campuses, Marxism and anti-Semitism, and that will destroy the United States of America. Why do the most capitalistic organizations on earth, American corporations, give abeyance as well as millions of dollars to organizations run by avowed Marxists? And by the way, the Democratic Party has been taken over by Marxists. The far left in the Democratic Party is Marxism all the way. Why does our civilization careen toward servitude, slavery, instead of freedom? Most thought communism was defeated with the fall of the Soviet Union. But today, it and other totalitarian ideologies are growing everywhere in America. The answer boils down to a principle expressed in the Word of God, Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When explaining the Constitution, one of our founding fathers, John Adams, said, quote, "We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled, unbridled by virtue and religion." When he says religion, he was talking about Christianity in America. "With our Constitution is worthless." It's a great Constitution. Absolutely great Constitution. But without virtue, without the Christianity, our Constitution is worthless. And the leaders in this nation now, virtue and God and the Word of God don't mean a thing to them. If their lips are moving, they're lying. Avarice, ambition, revenge, licentiousness. This is still John Adams speaking. Avarice, ambition, revenge, and licentiousness would break the strongest cords of our Constitution, as a whale goes through a net. He said that then, and it's a prophecy that is fulfilled in our day right now. We have no virtue in America. Our Constitution is worthless. God and the Word of God doesn't mean a thing to the people in this country. Virtue, integrity, honor. That forms the basis of our freedom in America. However, a nation that rejects God and the Word of God also rejects the dividends of virtue, one of which is freedom. Psalm 119:45 says, "I will walk in freedom, for I have devoted myself to your commandments," your mandates of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Inner bondage to sin destroys societal freedoms. But the freedom wherewith Christ has made you free, Galatians 5:1, also extends outward, from individuals to the whole nation. It brings with it the fruit of human freedom and human rights. May we know, may we who know God highly resolve once again to spread His word. Well, that's a easy to say. There are a lot of people in this country that who know God, but they have no spiritual life. They have not fulfilled their royal priesthood. They have not grown up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. They have not attained spiritual maturity. They have no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And so they're not motivated to give the grace gospel to anyone. First of all comes motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Christ. That has to be there. And then that will motivate impersonal love for all, which is fulfilling our royal ambassadorship in representing Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. over time, the freedom he brings to individuals adds rights and freedoms to entire nations. Now, I thought that was the perfect introduction to our Wednesday night class, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We are in the last paragraph of 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christo, technical phrase, in Christ, current positional truth as a result of faith in Jesus Christ and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he is a new spiritual species. The old things have lost their power. Behold, new things have come. And then that brought us to verses 18 to 21, where we have our royal ambassadorship and the ministry of reconciliation. And so far, we have exegeted verses 18 to 20, which sounds like this. Now, all of these things are from God, God the Father, the one who reconciled us to himself through the agency of Christ. And he, God the Father, gave to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God the Father was in Christ, reconciling the world, all of mankind, to himself, not imputing their trespasses, their personal sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation, the grace gospel. Now, we keep on being ambassadors for Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, as it were, makes his appeal through us, the convicting ministry of God the Holy Spirit. We request on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. In eternity past, God the Father designed the plan of salvation, Operation Grace, the cross. While God the Father designed Operation Grace, the cross, God the Son, with great, genuine humility, willingly agreed to carry out the incarnation plan of the Father. And this resulted in the greatest miracle that mankind will ever see. That very first Christmas, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, qualified because he was impeccable, sinless perfection, and then was imputed with the personal sins of all mankind, and then judged for our sins. Christ's salvation work on the cross makes possible mankind's reconciliation to God. Because Christ solved mankind's problem of sin by his salvation work on the cross, he made reconciliation possible. By faith in Jesus Christ and his reconciling work on the cross, the believer passes from God's wrath to God's blessing, from spiritual death to spiritual life. And the word world is used in our verse for all of mankind. every single member of the human race, which emphasizes the doctrine of unlimited atonement. Christ didn't just die for the sins of those who would believe in him, but he died for the sins of every single member of humanity. The doctrine of unlimited atonement, 1 John 2:2. The one who planned Operation Grace, the cross, God the Father, is the same one who planned your life, who planned your life on this earth as a believer. The same one who designed the unique spiritual life of the church age. The same one who gave to each one of us two royal commissions. Our royal priesthood, representing ourselves to God the Father, and our royal ambassadorship, representing the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The same one who planned for us the ministry of reconciliation, which tells us that every one of us, we are all in full-time Christian service. And that brought us to the doctrine of our royal ambassadorship. And we studied point one. Point one was definition and description. Of course, there are nine subpoints under point one. Point one, definition and description. An ambassador is a high-ranking minister of state or of royalty sent to another state to represent his king or his country. By analogy, we are spiritual aristocracy as members of the royal family of God. And Christ is the king who has sent us to a foreign country. And that is the cosmic world. At salvation, every believer enters the royal family of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And at the same time, he becomes a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on planet Earth. Ambassadorship stems from being in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit. Each church age believer is royal family of God, representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords during our life on this earth. Two royal commissions are given to every church age believer at the moment of salvation. We were commissioned a royal priest, and we were commissioned a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. We represent ourselves before God, our royal priesthood, and we represent God before man, our royal ambassadorship. Ambassadorship emphasizes that every believer is in full-time Christian service. However, there are different services. Different function depends on differences of spiritual gifts, stages of spiritual growth, and historical circumstances. Sometimes a nation is in a period of great positive volition. They want to know. They're positive at God consciousness, and they want to know the grace gospel. And when that is true, there is great spiritual revival in a nation. There's also times when there's great negative volition, they're negative of God consciousness, and they don't want to know about God. They don't want to know the grace gospel. And that's where we are right now. It's maximum negative volition. We're not in a time of spiritual revival. We've been in those. I have seen it. I saw it on campus at Washington State University. It was absolutely spectacular what went on at Washington State University. There was a great, great local church there, Bethany Bible Church, and the pastor graduated from Dallas Seminary, trained in the languages, taught the Bible every night, every day, again and again and again. And Campus Crusade for Christ came to WSU, and they came in to talk to Pastor Breckel, and he said, look, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're not a local church. You're an evangelistic arm. If you want to function as an evangelistic arm, fine, but you are not a local church. You need to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then if you want to be an evangelistic arm from this local church, then fine. But you are not a local church in and of yourself. And they listened to him. And here's the whole staff of Campus Crusade for Christ in one church, Bethany Bible Church, night after night after night. And then they grew up in doctrine, and then they went out on the campus, and Washington State University was turned upside down for Jesus Christ. Turned upside down. It was so awesome. Bethany Bible Church only had about 10 adults in the church that lived there. Only about 10 adults. The adults in Pullman were not that interested in God and His Word. But the kids on campus were. And all of a sudden the church filled up every seat. Not like all these nobodies here. Of course, our congregation, they're too old to come to church. Or they're too sick to come to church. I can't believe it. I never... You people get sick all the time. I'm older than all of you just about, and I'm here every single night. What the hell's wrong with you? You've been hanging around Joe Biden or what? Just don't kiss him, that's all. Well, the Campus Crusade staff, they grew up and grew up and grew up in doctrine. And all of us went out and gave the gospel all over campus. I had the four spiritual laws, hundreds of them with me. Everywhere I went, I sat down with people and gave them the gospel. And Bethany filled up every single seat was full. There was no place for them. We would open the window, they could sit in the window still, but then somebody would fall out and nobody had the gift of healing. See? So then they built a balcony and filled the balcony. I was talking with Al. When Al came lately. When he got there, he sat up in the balcony. Then the balcony was all filled up. They had no place for any. And they're all college kids. They're all college kids, not adults. So they took a wall out. Took the wall out and filled. And then that filled all up. College kids. There was a spiritual revival at Washington State University. It was absolutely phenomenal and beautiful to see. These college kids were positive of God consciousness. And they heard the grace gospel and believed in Jesus Christ. And then there was only one church in Pullman and Washington State University. Only one where you could grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, and that was Bethany Bible Church. That was a spiritual revival. I was right in the middle of it. It was absolutely phenomenal. And I can't tell you how many men in that church had the gift of pastor-teacher. And I still hear Ron teaching spiritual gifts. And as he was teaching spiritual gifts, he says, I hear a lot of you talking about, I'm PT. And he says, all that means, I'll tell you what it means for most of you, you're potty trained. That's what PT means for you. And so he kept teaching the spiritual gifts. Several of those men did have the gift of pastor-teacher. They went on to seminary. Many of them went to Dallas Theological Seminary. I knew them. I knew them at Bethany Bible Church. Then I was at Dallas Seminary with them. And then they graduated and they were in churches. My mom, Todd Kennedy in Spokane Bible Church, he was a part of that spiritual revival. He was in Bethany Bible Church and then Dallas Seminary. And then the pastor of Spokane Bible Church, my mom and whole family was in Spokane Bible Church and grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. All over the state of Washington, these men who were at Bethany and then Dallas Seminary, when they graduated, all ordained by Colonel Thame. And that's when the colonel sat down with me and he said, Dick, I want you to go back and you tell Ron Breckel he's doing the best job of any pastor in this nation. You tell him that for me. I said, oh, I will. Yes, sir. So I went back to Pullman and this summer, and I said, I called up Ron. I said, I'd like to go out to dinner with you and Betty, and we'll take the Kelsos. And the big thing, I mean, there's not that many places in Pullman to get dinner. We went down to Lewiston for some Italian food down there. From Italy, see, yeah. And we're sitting there eating, and I said, Ron, I said, the colonel wanted me to pass on a message to you. And I was so looking forward to telling him. He said, oh, really? Well, what's that? He said, he wanted me to tell you, you're doing the best job of any pastor in this entire nation. That was the last thing he was expecting to hear. He sat back, all the buttons popped off his coat, and I said, you know, Ron, he is 100% right. You know what? He is ordaining these men every year, graduate from Dallas Seminary, and they're all from Bethany Bible Church, Pullman, Washington, Washington State University. That's where they're all from. And he sees that. And he knows you're doing the job right. You're doing it right. And I loved Pastor Breckel. I loved the Colonel. Because both of them, This thing here, they regarded that as more important than anything else in life. And as an individual with the gift of pastor-teacher, you prepare for the ministry. And that preparing for the ministry is learning Hebrew, Aramaic, Chaldean, Aramaic. My cardiologist says, what part of the Bible is written in Aramaic, Chaldean? I said, Daniel. Oh, really?
It's not in Latin? Doc, your Catholicism's coming through here. There's nothing written in Latin. Hebrew, Aramaic or Chaldean, and Koine Greek. And why do you prepare and learn those languages? So that you teach what God put in the Bible, not what some translator put there, but what God put there. And we are in the dark ages because men with the gift of pastor teacher, one, they're not getting trained in the original languages. And if they did take some original languages, they stopped when they got at a local church. It was over and done. They don't mention anything. They don't mention any Hebrew. They don't mention any Greek. Not a damn thing. And that results in the dark ages. And that's where we are. But when there are periods where there is positive volition to God consciousness, and you have mature believers that have been prepared, they've fulfilled their royal priesthood, they have virtue love brought to completion in their heart, and now they fulfill their royal ambassadorship and represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, there's a revival. And then we noted that ambassadorship is the fulfillment of the imperative of divine good production as taught in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and that's where we concluded last week. That brings us to point two. Point two is the profile of the ambassador. The profile of the ambassador. Subpoint one. An ambassador does not appoint himself. An ambassador does not appoint himself. We are appointed by God. At the moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we're appointed by God. And God also gives us the power and the ability to fulfill our ambassadorship. Subpoint two. The ambassador does not support himself. He does not support himself. We are a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. And we don't support ourselves. The church age believer is an ambassador for Christ, and he is supported by the grace of God, logistical grace, coming down that grace pipeline from the justice of God to the imputed righteousness of God in us on the other end. And we are supported by logistical grace day by day. And that logistical grace gives us temporal security to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we can fulfill God's plan, will, and purpose for our life, which includes fulfilling our royal priesthood and fulfilling our royal ambassadorship. So the ambassador does not support himself. We're supported by the logistical grace blessing from God. Three. The ambassador's instructions are always in written form so that he has no doubt as to what his orders are. And we have the policies and the problem-solving devices and the instructions and the principles and the doctrines and the concepts all given to us in the God-breathed scriptures in written form. It's all been written down for us in the God-breathed scriptures.
So the ambassador's instructions are always in written form. 4, the ambassador does not belong to the country to which he is sent. The ambassador does not belong to the country to which he is sent. And some of you are saying, what do you mean? This is my country. No, your home is heaven. Our citizenship and our home is heaven. Not here on earth. It's heaven. So the ambassador does not belong to the country to which he is sent. Our citizenship and home is in heaven. 5, the ambassador does not live in the foreign country for his own personal interests. The ambassador does not live in the foreign country for his own personal interests. Now let me amplify that. We live here on earth solely to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. We live here on earth solely to serve our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we subordinate all personal interest to the function of our ambassadorship and our priesthood. Subpoint 6. The ambassador does not treat any insult to himself as personal. And we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in my study. And wait till we get there. Oh! The people, the believers in Corinth, hated Paul. They hated him. They maligned him. They slandered him. They judged him. They had mental attitude sins toward him. So what did Paul do? He loved them with impersonal love for all. They didn't like what he was teaching. He kept on teaching grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. And he treated them with impersonal love. Paul had virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He had personal love for God the Father. He had occupation with Jesus Christ. And so when he was teaching and these Corinthians hated him, maligned him, slandered him, judged him. We're going to see if we get to chapter 7. Oh, they accused him of everything. And then he tells them, and through all of this, I love you with virtue love. That's what he said. That's chapter 7. So therefore, subpoint 6, the ambassador does not treat any insult to himself as personal. And this is the royal ambassador's function of impersonal love for all mankind. The ambassador does not treat any insult to himself as personal. This is the royal ambassador's function of impersonal love to all mankind. We tolerate others. We tolerate others who don't like us, who hate us, who have mental attitude sins toward us. When you are insulted, treated unfairly or ridiculed because of virtue love, you have the great honor
the great honor and integrity and virtue love, impersonal love for all. You have the great spiritual strength and grace righteousness to leave the matter in the Lord's hands and do your job as unto the Lord. You're not doing it as unto people. I'm here every night teaching and teaching and teaching because I'm teaching as unto the Lord. I'm fulfilling this spiritual gift as unto the Lord, not as unto you, as unto the Lord. If you're positive and you want to be here, you'll be here. If you're negative and you don't, you won't. I'm not here to try to force anyone to be anywhere. And when it gets so that there's nobody that wants Bible doctrine, we'll close the door and I'll put out there a big sign, Ichabod. You know what that means? It's Hebrew. Glory departed. Not me, but glory departed. So when you ever see it coming, the big sign, chains are on the door, glory departed. So I'm not, that's all in the Lord's hands. Right now, there's far greater positive volition throughout this country to this ministry than here in Las Vegas. All over this country and in other countries. Great positive volition. This ministry is supported by a congregation that is all over America and around the world. Subpoint 7. When an ambassador is recalled, his recall is tantamount to a declaration of war. Now you know where we are recalled? The rapture. We are recalled at the rapture. And the tribulation that follows is analogous to a period of war. Point 3. The royal ambassadorship is specialized and intensified in the gift of pastor-teacher. Royal ambassadorship is specialized and intensified in the gift of pastor-teacher. Let's amplify that. Subpoint 1, all communication gifts, and there were apostles, that was a temporary spiritual gift, but once the New Testament canon was completed, that gift ceased. There are no apostles today. The last apostle was the apostle John. And once he finished Revelation, then the canon of Scripture was completed. No more apostles. There has never been an apostle after the apostle John. That was the temporary gift of communication. And then there are evangelists and pastor teachers, which are permanent spiritual gifts of communication. All communication gifts become critical and specialized functions of the royal ambassadorship because they communicate spiritual truth. Because they communicate spiritual truth. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Now the Apostle Paul is the one who is speaking here, and he had the gift of apostleship, but he also had about five different
spiritual gifts. And you have at least one spiritual gift. You might have more than one. And he says in Ephesians 6:19, pray also for me, Paul, that whenever I open my mouth, I mention no four-letter word. No. I just seeing if you're following along. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. An ambassador in chains. He's in prison. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Is that how you pray for Pastor Olson? That's exactly how you ought to pray for Pastor Olson. Exactly, 100%. So all communication gifts become critical and specialized functions of the royal ambassadorship because they communicate spiritual truth. Subpoint two. The communicator of Bible doctrine must teach the Word of God fearlessly. The communicator of Bible doctrine must teach the Word of God fearlessly. Subpoint three. That fearless communication of Bible doctrine cannot exist unless they have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. That fearless communication of Bible doctrine cannot exist unless they have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. And this will be really seen when we get to chapter 7. And we see how the Corinthian believers maligned, slandered, judged Paul up one side and down the other. Accused him of all these, about everything possible. Four, this is absolutely necessary because they will be faced with constant negative volition and arrogance from believers. This is absolutely necessary because they will be faced with constant negative volition and arrogance from believers. And the believers in Corinth thought that they knew more than Paul did. And Paul had virtue love brought to completion in his heart, and he kept on teaching grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. And he even told them, well, you know, you can keep on all your mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue toward me, and I'm going to keep on loving you with virtue love, and I'll love you when I'm living, and I'll love you when I'm dying, and I'll keep on loving you with virtue love, and guess what? I'm going to keep on teaching grace and truth. I didn't even hear an amen. Five. But with virtue love, the communicator teaches fearlessly, no matter what the mental attitude of his listeners. But with virtue love, the communicator teaches fearlessly, no matter what the mental attitude of his listeners. Point four. royal ambassadorship is related to evangelism. This is our passage, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 to 21. And this is the function of every believer who witnesses for Christ. And it is the special function of the believer who has been given the spiritual gift of evangelism. But all of us are to witness for Jesus Christ. Every church age believer is a royal ambassador for Jesus Christ. Every church age believer is in full-time Christian service. We all have the privilege and responsibility of giving the grace gospel to a lost and dying world. And that witnessing is not only by your life. I've heard some people say, well, I witness with my life. Ah, you're a coward. You're a coward. You witness. Well, your life's part of it, but also what you say, the communication of the grace gospel. Point five, our royal ambassadorship mandates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Our royal ambassadorship mandates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And that Romans, that's our Sunday. We'll be in Romans 12. The Democrats are in a bad way right now. And I was thinking, how old is Biden? 81. Okay, well, I got about 6 more years before I get to that point. Ooh. And by 6 more years, I ought to be in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Virtue love must be unhypocritical. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is intrinsically good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Impersonal love for all. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. That is, make sure you're living the spiritual life by the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Persevere in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. You have to have virtue love to do that. You have to have impersonal love for all. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay
anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace. Reconciliation. Remove barriers. Don't create barriers. Remove barriers with everyone. That takes impersonal love for all to do that. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So our royal ambassadorship mandates the great functional virtue of impersonal love for all. Romans 12, 9 to 21. Subpoint 1. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The ultimate objective of the spiritual life is to have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Subpoint 2. As you fulfill your royal priesthood, you develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. As you fulfill your royal priesthood, you develop personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ. Subpoint 3. These are the great motivational virtues that motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship. These are the great motivational virtues that motivate you to fulfill your royal ambassadorship, to witness for Christ with impersonal love for all. And everything you as a church age believer, everything you do in life becomes a part of your MO as a royal ambassador for Christ. Every believer, therefore, makes a pulpit out of his circumstances in every area of life. Subpoint 4. Your ambassadorship is basically made up of two factors: how you live and what you say, the grace gospel. So your ambassadorship is basically made up of two factors: how you live and what you say, the grace gospel. Subpoint 5. In private, you function under your royal priesthood. In public, you function under your royal ambassadorship. So in private, you function under your royal priesthood. In public, you function under your royal ambassadorship. Well, that's the first 5 points of this magnificent doctrine of our royal ambassadorship. We will pick it up at point 6 next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.